As we start new years, a lot of times we think about new resolutions, things that we'd like to do better this year than last year. A lot of times we think about diet and exercise, and there's all sorts of things that we make new resolutions about. And hopefully, as Christians, there's many spiritual resolutions, or at least a few spiritual resolutions, that we think about and want to try and apply in our lives. Maybe we want to try and do better about talking with others about the gospel. Maybe we want to try and attend more church meetings. There's different things. But one thing I think we should always be striving to do a little bit better, and James mentioned this in the prayer, and I appreciate that, is that we always should be striving to be better Bible students. We should always be striving to read our Bibles a little more, always striving to study our Bibles a little more. And each and every year, and not just around January 1st, but anytime we realize that we've been lacking, we should strive to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We should be striving to know God's Word better and better. And so for a little while tonight, I want to talk about the idea of Bible study. And I'm going to admit right up front, this sermon is a little bit different than your typical sermon. It's a little different than your typical gospel sermon. What we're going to talk about for just a little while is, one, why it's important to study the Bible. We're going to look at God's Word itself and talk about the importance of Bible study. And then we'll spend just a little bit of time at the end of the sermon going over just some practical advice, just some practical tips about how to study and some ways to study and some tips that I hope you'll find useful. Now, I want to say I'm not giving this sermon because I feel like I am the grand expert at Bible study. I've got a lot of learning and I've got a lot of growing myself to do. But I hope that some of these things that I've learned and that I've been taught by others, things that I've learned as I've tried to be a teacher and as I've worked as an evangelist, I hope that these things will equip you and enable you to be a better Bible student. Because right at the front, one thing that I want everybody to understand, we all need to be students of the Bible. Now, those of us that are leaders, those of us that are teachers in some capacity, obviously we need to be spending a great deal of time studying God's Word. For us to present it to the congregation and be able to preach it to others, we need to read it and we need to study it. But a lot of people make the mistake of thinking that Bible study, serious Bible study, is just for those people, just for the preacher, just for the teachers. And everybody else, you know, they'll get their Bible study from the work of others. But I think every single one of us as New Testament Christians need to be Bible students. And we'll talk about why throughout just a little bit of our sermon. So let's just start there. Why is it so important to study the Bible? Well, first of all, it's important to study the Bible because the Bible is nothing less than the Word of God. Now you think about that, and that's a pretty incredible thing. Now, the Bible in our time is so common and so easy to come across, which it hasn't always been that way. But in our time it is. We can have multiple copies of the Bible. We can get them cheaply. We can get them easy. We can get them for free. We can get them on the internet. We can listen to the Bible. And so it's so common and so much a part of our everyday life in many ways that sometimes we don't stop and realize what the Word of God actually is. And it's just that. It is the Word. It is the will. It is the communication of the creator of the universe. Now, people go out and they buy books and they read books from experts in all sorts of fields. Now, Dave Ramsey was a very good money manager, but then he did the smartest thing he could have done, and he told other people how to make money, and that's made him incredibly rich. Because people want to read from someone who knows how to make money about how to make money. People learn, you know, from their profession. They buy books and they read for about all sorts of things from experts and scholars. You know, the biggest questions in life are not how do you make more money or how do you manage your time better or how do you enjoy your work better. The biggest questions of life are where do we come from? What's our purpose here? Where are we going? You know where you find those answers? Not any book written by man. There's a lot of men that have tried to answer those questions. But if you want the real answers to those questions, you turn to the book that was written by God. And that's exactly what the Bible is. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Peter said in 2 Peter 1:19, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Every now and then you're going to hear some critic, or you're going to hear some atheist or some non-believer say something about the Bible being a couple thousand-year-old book written by a bunch of people that didn't know what they were talking about and people that didn't know anything that we know today. That's false. That's a lie. The Bible was not written by men. It was penned by many different authors, but every single author that contributed or wrote something in the Bible, as Peter tells us, was moved and inspired by God. All Scripture, that's the Old Testament, that's the New Testament, is given to us by God, the high and holy Creator of the universe, the one who created you and made you, has also spoken to you. And He hasn't spoken to you in dreams. He's not going to speak to you in visions. He's not going to appear to you in the middle of a grocery store aisle. He has spoken to you through His Word. If there is one person that you need to read after, if there's one person whose mind and thoughts you need to know, it's God's. And He's given us His Word and His will. That alone is more than enough of a reason for us to want and desire to read the Word of God, I think. But in the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, because of that, it gives us knowledge of what is right. And it gives us a knowledge of how it is that we can live in order to please God. Surely all of us want to please God. I think that's why we're here tonight. That's why we strive to live the Christian life, because we want to be pleasing to God. We recognize Him as our Creator. We recognize Him as our Lord and our King. And we want to please Him. Well, how do we do that? A lot of men and women through the centuries of time have striven to serve God and please Him according to what they thought was right. But the ways of man are not the ways of God, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, the Bible tells us. So we look to His Word. We look to what He has communicated to us in order to teach us what is right. Remember what we just read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, 17 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Listen to what Paul says next. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book, it's not just a collection of bedtime stories. It's not just a collection of good ideas. Now, there's even atheists and agnostics that say, you know, there's some good principles in the Bible. I had a professor in college one time that told us that he liked some of the things that the Bible had to say about love. He thought that it got that kind of right in a few points. But the Bible's not just a list of ideas for us to pick and choose from. And it's not just a general guideline or a devotional that makes us feel good about daily life. The Bible is God's plan for man. And it's the guidebook by which we live our lives. It shows us how we live. It defines morality for us. You want to see what problems come up when man defines morality? Just take a look at the world. When man defines morality, chaos happens. But God has given us the true definition of morality. He defines how we worship Him. You can look through the Old Testament and through the New Testament and see God's desire for us to worship Him according to His Word. We learn how we speak. We learn how we think. We learn how we act. We learn how we treat others. All by the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us what we need to know in order to be pleasing to Him. Paul also wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15. He said, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. We all want to be approved by God. And the Bible shows us how to do that. He goes on, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, one day we are all going to stand before Christ as our judge. And He's going to judge us for the way that we lived our lives. And you know what He's going to judge us on? He said in the Gospels, He said that what will judge us is His Word. And how we lived according to His Word will be the ultimate test of whether we are approved or whether we are ashamed on the day of judgment. With that in mind, why wouldn't we read it? Why wouldn't we study it? This is the answer book. This is the guide to living a life that will make sure that we are approved on the day of judgment. It shows us how to be saved. It shows us the price that was paid for us. It tells us about God's grace and His mercy, and it tells us how we respond to that. You know, if this book just stays shut all the time and we never read that and we never study it, what good does that do? That's not going to help us on the day of judgment. So we read our Bibles and we study God's Word so that we can do what is right and live pleasing before the Father. And in this, not only do we read the Bible so that we can apply it to our own lives and live as the Christians that we ought to be, but we read and study our Bibles and we put it into practice so that we can be able to defend the truth. On Acts 17:11, you all have already heard me use this example a couple of times in the few short months that I've been here. And I'll probably use it a lot. I use this example quite a bit. So if you're already tired of it, I'm sorry. You're going to be much more tired of it if God gives us very much more time. But Acts 17:11, Luke tells us there that the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. The Bereans were noble, they were commended and complimented by God, and they were put into His Word as an example because they did something, because they listened to the Apostle Paul, arguably, probably, the greatest preacher that has ever lived. And they sat and they listened to that incredible preacher of the gospel, and they said, "That's wonderful, we're going to follow it." No, because they took it, and they said, "That sounds wonderful, but we're going to compare it to the Word of God first." And so daily, as they listened and as they learned from Paul, they went home and they searched and they examined the Scriptures, because they realized something that we have to understand. Our souls, my soul, your soul, every single soul here is too important to leave up to the words of a man. Remember, this is God's Word. I promise you this. I will always do my very best. And I will always strive to do nothing but teach to you the Word of God. But I am a man. And so you always compare what I have to say with the Word of God. Because there have been many, many men and many, many women throughout time that have claimed to preach the Word of God, and what they said was not what was found in this book. Or it twisted what was said in this book. Or it contradicted what was said in this book. But it was taken by people who didn't ever open their Bibles and prove what they heard. And so they followed others into digression and into sin and into error. Don't do that. Read your Bible, study your Bibles to prove everything that you hear from me, from other teachers, from other preachers, from anybody that you talk to about the Bible. Read it so that you know what you hear is true, but also read it so that you can defend it, as I've already mentioned. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always, always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Not everyone in this room is an evangelist. Not everyone in this room is a congregational teacher. And that's perfectly fine. There's no problem with that at all. But everybody in this room that seeks to follow Christ is under the command of Peter to always be ready, to the best of our ability, to give a defense for our hope. Why do we believe what we believe? I'll give you a hint. It's because it's in this book. Why do we worship the way that we worship? Because it's what God says. Why do we act the way we act? Why do we speak the way we speak? Why do we do all the things that we do? It better be because it's what is commanded and exemplified and taught to us in God's Word. But can we show that to people? No, what we should expect of other people is to also examine the Word of God. And we should encourage people to examine the Word of God. And so when people ask you why you worship the way you do, It's not just because that's the way mom and dad worshiped. It's not because that's what feels comfortable. We worship the way we worship for a very important reason, because it's how God has commanded us to worship Him. But you know what? We can't just leave it at that to tell people. We should show them. Why do we teach what we do about salvation? Is it because we think that it sounds better than what other groups have come up with? Because it's what makes sense to us? No, it's because it's what God's Word teaches. But can we prove that with the Scriptures? Can we show that with the Scriptures? We could go on and on about all the things in our life, but that's part of why we read and study. No, it's very difficult to give a defense. It's very difficult to explain to people why we worship the way we worship. It's difficult to explain to people why we have the hope that we do as a Christian when we don't read our Bibles. I'll tell you something, and by the way, I know this by experience from years past. If you rely just on what you hear on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday evening to try and equip you to be able to answer people's questions, it's not going to work. Unless you have a much, much better memory than I do. It's difficult sometimes to give good answers to people when we do study. Sometimes we have to tell people, you know what, I don't know that right now, but let me read, let me study, and let's talk about that again. And that's perfectly fine. But we've probably all been in the situation where we've been asked a question and we knew we should know the answer, and we didn't, because we hadn't really been studying the way we ought to. Now, you're not going to become an expert. None of us are going to be experts overnight. But I'll tell you something. If you start 2017 with a dedication to study God's Word better, and you stick to that goal and that resolution or whatever you want to call it, and you start now and you start studying and you start reading and you stick it through this year, and you do that in 2018, and you do that in 2019, and Lord willing, however long your life goes on and this world stands, you keep doing that. I'll tell you, before long, you'll have a knowledge and you'll have an ability to defend the gospel and teach others the gospel unlike you've ever done before. You know, you look at preachers. There's preachers that all of us respect and love, and we listen to them, and we kind of marvel at them. You know, sometimes in their 60s and their 70s. And we're so impressed by them and the way they communicate the gospel and the way they can answer questions, the way they can make things understandable. Do you know why that is? It's because they've spent years. Because in many cases, they've spent decades reading and studying the Word of God. It sounds kind of daunting, I know. But you start now. And you keep growing, and you keep growing. And however long God blesses you with, you grow and you grow and you grow by reading and studying more and more. We could go on and on. I could go on for quite a while about why we study the Bible. But I hope those reasons, just those few alone, I hope those are enough to encourage us and to motivate us to realize we need to study the Bible. And by the way, I don't know anybody here's study habits. You might be studying the Bible wonderfully. I hope you are. And if you are, that's great. But I know that most of us, being human beings, this is something that we struggle with from time to time. And so I hope that this is helpful. And I hope that this is encouraging. And so now I want to turn for a little while just to some practical advice, just to some things that have helped me, things that I've been taught or things that I've heard from others that have helped them, of how to study the Bible. Because I think in the conversations I've had and the people that I've known, there are a lot of Christians that really want to study the Bible. But sometimes there's a big question of how. And you know, that one, to me as a preacher, and those of us that are leaders and teachers here, that's a reminder to us that we have a responsibility to the congregation. That's one thing that I'm going to try and work on. And I want to say right now, if anybody here ever has questions, Bible things they want to talk about, questions they want help, please don't hesitate to let me know. That's part of why I'm here. That's part of what my duty is to help you. It's part of what the leaders do is equip the body of the saints. But sometimes people just don't know how. Now, I had an incredible blessing. I was born in the family of a full-time preacher who had already spent decades learning how to study. And he had grown up in a congregation with Paul Nichols, who had taught pretty ardently the need for study, especially with young men that wanted to be preachers. But you know, sometimes we convert people from the world, and we're so happy that they've converted and they've obeyed the gospel and they've been baptized, and then we just let them go. And maybe they've never even opened the Bible until they started talking with us. They have no idea how to study the Bible. Sometimes we grow up in Christian homes, and even though it shouldn't be the case, the Bible really wasn't a part of family life. And so as people decide that they want to get serious about studying, it's a genuine desire, but they wonder, how do I even start? So that's part of what this is just how do you start studying the Bible? Well, first of all, I want to talk very quickly about there is a difference in reading and studying. And we need to do both. Now, reading, you know, just like it is what it is. It's like reading a book. Pick up the Bible now and then and just read it. Now, sometimes it's helpful. I know this sounds daunting too. Try and read a whole book at a time. Sit down with the gospel over a weekend and just read through it. Or take an epistle, a lot of them are fairly short, and just read through it. Don't try and delve into all the questions that come up. Don't try and get too deep, but just read it. Now, there's a lot of Bible reading plans, and a lot of people like to get on Bible reading plans. There's some in the back. You can find hundreds, if not thousands, on the internet. And that's wonderful. That's a good way just to read the Bible, because the more you read it, the more familiar you get with it. The more you read it, the more you'll find out, oh, that's where that verse is that I was thinking about the other day. And you familiarize yourself with it. But studying and reading are different. Reading is just looking over it, reading it like a book. Studying is stopping and getting into the details, looking throughout the entirety of the Bible, looking at themes and topics or studying passages. So which one is better? Well, neither one is better. We need to do both. I would encourage you to try and take a little bit of time every day to just read your Bible. Maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's over your lunch break, whatever time works for you, whatever time you can be distraction-free, take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes if you have it, and just read. Follow a Bible reading plan. If you need help finding one, let me know and I'll help you find one. Just read. But also try and take time every day or at least a few times a week to study the Word of God. To actually get in deep with what God's Word has to say. A couple reading suggestions just to help, because some people just start off reading. Again, make it part of your daily routine. But secondly, I will mention this. Find a translation that is good for you that you can read. I'm not here to get into a translation debate. I have no desire to get into a translation debate. If you have questions about translations, feel free to ask me after church. I have translations I'll recommend. I have translations I'll recommend people to stay away from. There's some out there that aren't good. But there's several very good translations. And I can talk to you about the methods of translation and the theories of translation, all that you want to after services sometime if you want. But for right now, if it helps you read, find a translation that you can read. I think it was Mike Criswell one time I heard say, the best translation that there is the one that you'll read. Some people try and get into these fights and arguments about this is the best and that's the best. Here's the thing. If you can't understand it, and thus you won't read it, it won't do you any good. So find a translation, use a translation that you can read and that you can understand and that is accurate. If you have worries or questions about that, feel free to talk to me or another leader and we'll help you with that. But that should help. Utilize a Bible reading plan if you can, or if you need help, we can find that for you. Now, study suggestions. Where do you start? Now, there's one very easy place to start with Bible study. Study what's taught. Now, each time that we come together in the assembly, it is our duty as the teachers to equip and edify the congregation. But every time we come together and we do that, we're probably covering much less than what we've studied. We should be covering much less than what we've studied. Which means there's a lot there for you to go home and study on your own. No, this is what the Bereans were doing. Remember the example of the Bereans in Acts 17 and 11. What were they doing daily? The Bereans weren't going home daily and checking off three chapters of the Old Testament and calling it good for their reading plan. They were going home daily to see if what Paul had taught them, if what they had heard Paul preaching was true. That was their daily study routine. No, if you did this, if you just wrote down the verses that were used in a sermon, and by the way, if you ever want a sermon outline, if you ever want my notes, if you ever want my PowerPoints, if you ever want me to get you a verse list, ask me and I'll be happy to do it. And I'm going to speak for the rest of the teachers and say that they would be too. So if you want to take those notes home and study them, that would thrill me. But even if all you did was went home and reread all the verses that were presented in a sermon, you realize that would be more study than most people do? Monday night, you went home and just reread all the verses that were in Sunday morning sermon. Tuesday night, you reread all the verses in Sunday night sermon. And Thursday night, you read all the verses in Wednesday night sermon. There you've got 5 days of your entire week that have either been spent at a church service or rereading what you learned at the church service. That would probably take 15 to 20 minutes just to go through the verses that are covered. You know, even in tonight's sermon, go home and reread those things and think on those things and meditate on those things. Maybe find some cross-references with those things. If you don't have any idea where else to study, start there. And it's our duty as the teachers to be teaching good and helpful, edifying things. And if we're doing our job, you will have more than enough material to study. I firmly believe that. Now, we're going to be starting some things, Lord willing, within by the end of the month or early next month. We're going to be going through the book of 1 Corinthians as teachers on Sunday nights. I promise you this, we will not teach everything that could be taught, at least not if we plan to finish before 2020. So, there's going to be some work for everyone to do, going home and using what we teach as a foundation and studying further. Lord willing, by the end of this month, I'm going to start a series on Sunday mornings on the life of Christ. If I want to finish that up before you all boot me out of Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, I'm not going to be able to cover anywhere near what I want to. Heidi's already had to hear me complain about I don't really know how I'm going to do this in some cases because there's just too much for me to teach through and yet do it without being an incredible burden at the same time. So there's going to be some stuff that I'm going to have to leave with you to go home and read and study. And then the other things that come up and the other topics that we discuss and the other studies that we do, that is a wonderful starting point. And not only is it a wonderful starting point, but as you do that, then you examine and you learn from what we've taught and you prove what we've taught. Sometimes you might come up with questions. Bring those up to us. Let us know. That's wonderful when those types of things happen. But secondly, I'm going to talk about two types of study. One is passage study. You know, the technical or the big words for this would be expository or exegetical study. Those are just big fancy words that talk about studying passages. We're going to talk about topical studies here in a little bit. And a lot of times we run right to topical studies. You know, we want to learn all about angels. Or we want to talk about the subject of grace. And we're going to talk about that. Those are good studies. But one of the best things you can do as a Bible student is learn to study the Bible passage by passage. Start at the beginning of a book and you work your way through. That's how we're going to be doing some of our teaching. John Daniel has been doing this in the book of Romans. This is how we're going to approach, Lord willing, the book of 1 Corinthians, is passage by passage, and me and the teachers are going to be working on that. So that could help you if you went and studied that on your own. But a couple of suggestions for studying passages. Let's say you start in an epistle. Understand the context. Spend time reading and learning who was the epistle written to, who was the book written by. What's the context? You know, like when you go over to the book of Revelation, you read there about the seven churches of Asia. Spending some time learning about those cities that John was writing to can actually shed a lot of light on why the Lord said what he said to the seven churches of Asia. I'll leave that for you to study at some point. But understand the context. Don't go too fast when you study a passage. Let's say you start in 1 Corinthians with us. You don't have to go a chapter at a time. Chapters weren't in the original letters. And you don't have to bite off a chapter at a time. I can almost guarantee you this, I'll never be able to teach through a full chapter at a time. If there's enough for you to study for 2 hours on two verses, spend 2 hours studying on two verses. If you spend an hour studying on 30 verses, that's wonderful. Go at a good pace that you can understand. Don't think you have to get through an entire chapter, an entire book, all in one setting or in one study. Get everything that you can out of a passage, even if it's just a few verses. And when you do passage studies, this is daunting to a lot of people. I like this type of study because to me it's easier. Because it's all right there for you. You just have to think about what to look for. Now look for key words. Important words. Words that maybe you think, well, what does that mean? And you do a little bit of further reading and you look up in some dictionaries what that book or what that word means. And when you come across ideas about grace and mercy, or you come across a word that shows up over and over and over again, now maybe that's an important word. For example, you read through the book of Philippians, you'll find a lot about joy and rejoicing and gladness. You think, well, that's kind of strange. This is showing up a lot in this epistle. Maybe I need to look at this a little further. Watch for key words in the text. Look for lists or repetitions. For example, in that passage in Peter's epistles, where he talks about add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and there's a long list of several things that he says, add to your faith. That's a gold mine right there for a Bible study. You study those words and you look through those lists, or you go to Galatians and you look at, Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Pay attention to those lists, or pay attention to things that are repeated when you're going through a passage study, and always look for examples. This is more obvious in narratives like the Gospels or Acts, but there you find them in the epistles as well. Examples. The Bereans. Is there an example in the passage that is commendable? And if so, what did they do that was commendable? Because we want to put that into practice in our lives. Or maybe there's an example of something that is rebuked, something that is evil, something that's wrong. What is it? What did they do? Think of Ananias and Sapphira as you read through the book of Acts. And you see very clearly they were not commended. There's an example of something not to do. You find those all throughout the Bible. So look for those as you go through a passage. But then also there is topical study. I don't want to downplay topical study, but I will say this. If you studied through the entirety of the Bible, or even if you just studied through the entirety of the New Testament, you know, passage by passage, if you started in Matthew and you studied passage by passage all the way through Revelation, you realize you'll have covered every topic that you could do a study on topically, and you'll have done it in its context. But now sometimes there is a need to study a specific topic, and so you might want to go study that topic. And there's nothing wrong with that. A concordance can help with this. For example, you want to study angels. You know, you find angels in the book of Genesis, and you're going to find angels throughout the Bible all the way through Revelation. So you might need something like a concordance, or online. The internet helps with this greatly nowadays, to find all the various passages, and you collect those, and you look at them, and see, you know, what all does the Bible teach about a given subject. But again, a couple of suggestions here. Context. Talked about this with passage study. It's very important with topical study. You have to know the context of the verses you find. You just look at a concordance, or you type in the internet a word to find all the occurrences in a Bible. And it pops up and you have a verse. A lot of people make this mistake. Teachers make this mistake. Preachers make this mistake. They read a verse and we think it proves our point, and so we use it and we just forget entirely about the context. Want a good example of that? Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. People take that verse and they run with it. You know what they've done? They haven't looked at the context. If you look at the context, you look at verses 2 through 5 of that chapter, you'll see that Jesus isn't saying don't judge. He's condemning hypocritical judgment. You have to understand the context. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where it says that salvation is by grace, faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And a lot of people grab onto that. But they don't look at it in the context. Even in verse 10, it says, for we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, the way that you understand the context is you look at the context of the immediate passage. The verses before and the verses after. That's going to give you a big clue, like in Matthew chapter 7. You look at the context within the framework of the book. Now in Ephesians 2, that's a six-chapter epistle that was written as one letter with a main theme and a main purpose. You understand that broader context, you can understand Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 better. And then, of course, you always look at things in the context of the whole Bible. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. It's the inerrant Word of God. And so when you find something in Ephesians 2 that says we are saved by grace through faith and not of works, you also need to account for James chapter 2 that says we see then that we are not saved by faith only, but that we are also justified by works. Those aren't contradictory. There's two different letters with two themes and two purposes, and we have to use all of God's Word to help us interpret God's Word. And we use them to get a fuller understanding of the subject of salvation or morality or worship. So we use context and we use all of the Bible. But also, as you work through topics, you know, what topics do you need to study? Is there something you struggle with? Is there a temptation that's a problem? Study about it. If you want to overcome it, find examples of people in the Bible that suffered what you suffer from. Study about temptation. Study about things that you struggle with. And that's a great way to study topics. Study topics you have questions about. Maybe you've heard a sermon and I've said something that you think, I want to know more about that. Again, sometimes people are drawn to things like angels and end times. Maybe you have questions about some of those things. Study them. You want to know more about grace? Study it. One of the most annoying things that my grandmother ever did was every time I asked her a question, she said, you should look it up. And it drove me nuts. But you know what? It helped. And I'm always happy to field questions. And I'll always be happy to study with you. But I want to encourage you, if you have questions, study it. Study it for yourself. Read the Bible and try and come to a conclusion. Try and find the answer in God's Word. It doesn't mean you don't need help. Feel free to ask questions and get help. But don't ever look for someone just to answer it for you and for a quick answer. You'll understand it better. You'll learn it. You'll apply it better. We all will if we study it. So things you have questions about. And study topics you talk about with others. Maybe coworkers, kids, friends, family. Things people ask you about. Maybe your coworkers at work keep trying to get you to go out for a couple drinks afterwards, and they keep asking you, why don't you go drink with us? Do a study on drinking. Equip yourself to be able to give a Bible answer. Maybe people have asked questions about worship. Study worship. Be able to talk to other people. If there's things that you know you're not able to talk to people about, but you might have to, study those topics. Just a few final suggestions. As you study, as you read, take notes. One of the things that drives me nuts is I don't do this well enough, and I read something and I think, that's a great point. A lot of times I think, that'd be a great sermon to preach. And then 2 days later, I'm thinking, what in the world was I thinking? What I know I had the best sermon idea ever the other day, and I can't even remember what book I was reading. Write it down. Take those notes. If you have a question, write it down. You read something, you get a question, write it down so you remember it, study it further, or ask someone else for help. And here's a big one. Talk with other people. Studying the Bible increases our knowledge, but the end goal of studying the Bible is not just to be a Bible know-it-all. It's to be able to live the Word of God and to teach the Word of God. You know what will make you a better Bible student than almost anything? Talking about it with other people. When you talk with other people, and you study with other people, and you hear from other people, it increases your Bible knowledge greatly. Also increases your desire, I think, to study the Word of God. When you talk about it with others, if you have questions, ask me. Ask one of the teachers. Ask someone you confide in. But talk with other people. Set up studies with others if you want to. Well, I'm happy. If you want to study the Bible and you want some help and you want to set up a study privately, if you want to set up a small group of studies, let me know. I'd love to study with you. I'd love to study with people. So talk and study with other people. Well, here's just a tip. Try and memorize scriptures. This is something I have not done as well as I should have in the past. It's one of my resolutions for this year is just try and memorize scripture. Little verses here and there or longer passages. Psalm 119 and 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When you read God's word enough and you apply yourself to it so much that you remember it and that it's in here, and oh, you still open the book and you read it, but there's a lot of passages that are just right up here that you can quote or you can say right off the top of your head. I think you'll find yourself walking a better Christian walk when we live that type of life. And study as a family. I could give a whole sermon on this, and we're already out of time, so I'm not going to. Again, something I need to do better of. All of us probably do. Study as a family. If you're just a husband and a wife, study as a husband and a wife. If you have children, study with your children. Obviously, you're going to have to tailor the material. You're going to have to talk about things at their comprehension level. But I'll tell you this, it's not too early. It's not too early to start any of these children that are in this audience with hearing the Bible read at home. And talking about Bible stories at home. And talking about Bible principles at home. It's not too early. Study as a family. And by the way, that's one of the other great ways that we'll grow. You want some of the most difficult questions to answer? Just wait till the kids start asking them. And then you'll run into some difficult Bible questions that will really challenge us and make us better Bible students. To wrap up, just a couple verses. Two sides of the coin of Bible study. What happens when we don't study our Bible? Some people think it's not that big of a deal. Hosea 4 and 6, God said through the prophet Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. What happens when we don't read our Bibles? When we don't study our Bibles? Over time, we forget it. We might get little reminders at services, but when we never apply ourselves, we become unknowledgeable of God's Word. What happens when we're unknowledgeable of God's Word? In the end, most likely destruction. It's what happened to God's people over and over again. And you know what? I haven't been around a very long time. But even in my short life, there's been some digressions, and there's been some problems that have arisen in the church. And you know what is true in nearly every case? It starts with one or two or three people, a teacher here, a preacher there, that teaches something that is not in accordance with God's word. And it could be stopped immediately. But they're followed by people that don't know their Bible. And they didn't know how to refute it. And they didn't know what the truth was. And so they followed them. We have entire congregations that 10 years ago were faithful that aren't now. Because they've been led into false doctrine. Well, those men are responsible. But so were the members of those churches that let it happen because they weren't rooted and God's word for themselves. And unless they turn things around, that lack of knowledge that has led into digression can destroy them. But it doesn't have to be that way. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's an entire psalm about the word of God. How wonderful it is. How beautiful it is. Don't worry, we're not going to read the whole thing right now. But I do want to read just a few verses. Beginning in verse 98 or 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That is a wonderful passage. I hope that that encourages you as much or more than anything that I've said this evening to read God's word. In God's word you will have knowledge. You know what? I don't know that anybody in this room will ever be an expert according to this world. To call David the rocket scientist. He always tells me he's just a lowly engineer. That's pretty high in my books. But you know, we're not high and mighty scholars. We don't need to be. Every single person in this room can know more and more important things than the most intellectual Oxford and Harvard scholar if you just know God's word. If you want to keep away from evil, know God's word. If you want encouragement, know God's word. If you want to know how to make it to heaven, know God's word. But if we leave it closed and we leave it shut, it's never going to benefit us. But if we get into it and we read it and we study it, there is no end to the blessing it will bring to your life if you read and study and apply God's word. The sermon is yours this evening. I hope that these things have encouraged you. Encouraged all of us as we look at a new year to dedicate ourselves to a better and a deeper study of God's holy word.